very good morning to everyone. The first case on this morning's call is number 05-1123, Dallallo against the Attorney General. Mr. Trace.
May it please the court, counsel. Richard Trace for the petitioner Mamadou Diallo. Mr. Diallo is a native and former citizen of the country of Guinea who came to the United States in the year 2001, and shortly after he arrived here, he filed an application for political asylum. That application was referred to the immigration judge in a matter of a short time, and then the case became a trial before the judge, and the judge issued a decision denying the application for asylum, withholding of removal, torture convention, and other relief.
Mr. Trace, if I may suggest, perhaps you could raise your voice just a little bit. These microphones record your remarks, but they're not too good at amplification.
Thank you very much, Your Honor. I'll be glad to do that. And in the judge's decision, which is really the focus of our inquiry today, there doesn't appear to be a finding of either that the applicant was credible or not credible in his testimony. The judge does say that the testimony was meager and makes a few negative comments about it, but doesn't come to any conclusion about whether it was credible or not credible. The significance of that is whether or not, under some of the case law of this court, there really was a need for corroborative evidence, corroborative documentary evidence, which the judge seemed to think was necessary. I think we're submitting today that without this finding that the alien was not credible, the need for corroborative evidence is not established. And even so, I don't think the testimony on its face appeared to be not credible, is apart from the judges maybe determining that by the demeanor of the witness, etc., but from the testimony itself and the words that the alien had and the story made inherent sense. There weren't that many inconsistencies, and it's plain that there was enough to this story to sustain a finding that he was had suffered past persecution and had a reasonable subjective fear of future persecution. He testified he was in jail for 16 months pursuant to being arrested on account of his political activities as a member of the RPG party. He submitted a membership card saying that he was a member of that party. And there's a lot in this case to show that this man suffered greatly on account of his political activities and opinion. The judge, in his opinion, primarily focuses on some documents, an arrest warrant and summons, and talks about whether they comported to his understanding of French and the judge's understanding of whether this would be more or less an arrest warrant and summons in the normal course of business in Guinea. But there's really no evidence in the record to support the judge's conclusions.
Why don't you comment on the question of whether this was a timely petition to the BIA.
Timely petition to the BIA. I didn't know that was an issue. I thought it was sent within 30 days of the judge's decision, Your Honor. I'll be glad to review that, but I'm unaware that's an issue. I don't think it was raised by counsel either.
With respect to the medical documentation, the government makes the point that the petitioner did not supply any documentation, even with respect to medical care received in the United States. Wouldn't it have been possible for him to have submitted at least that material?
Again, I think it would be possible. The question is how material it was, how relevant it was really to proving an injury that occurred maybe a couple years before that, and what type of injuries these were. And the question then, the underlying question, is whether there really was a need for any corroborative evidence here if the testimony of the applicant was in fact credible.
I had a question about that as well. What was there any testimony in the record as to his medical status at the time of the hearing?
I think he did.
Or since he had been in the United States as it related to the beatings?
I think he complained of some residual dizziness. But I don't think it was anything all that severe that we could have had medical documentation to show a present injury resulting from that, from those beatings. And that 16-month incarceration, which by itself is more or less inhumane, and I think rises to the level of harm that is equivalent to persecution.
You know, I asked you about timeliness. There is not a timeliness problem in your case.
Oh, okay.
But the next case we have is the same name, and I don't know, are they related? It's the same country, same last mm-hmm. name.
It, if I may, it's like John Smith.
All right, so it's in America.
In the Western African countries, you'll find Mamadou Diallo in Nigeria, Guinea, Sierra Leone, Ivory Coast.
Okay.
I've seen the name many, many, many times. And so I've had several clients with that name.
So this fellow is not related at all to the woman with the same name.
To make matters worse, though, I have a case.
Maybe they are related.
The third case we have on the call is Hadi Halidou, and that's to be distinguished from Mamadou Diallo. But anyway, in my mind, it runs together sometimes.
Okay.
That's all they know.
So do ours.
Counsel.
Thank you, Counsel. We'll hear now from the government. Mr. Massa.
Thank you, judges. Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Mark Massa. I'm a criminal assistant United States attorney with the Southern District of Indiana in Indianapolis. I was assigned to draft the government's brief as part of the department's effort to cut a backlog in immigration-related work. I was not the trial counsel then. As a criminal AUSA, I would note that the case looks a lot like a standard sufficiency of the evidence claim in a criminal case, and as such, the standard of review here is highly deferential to the immigration judge's findings. What we essentially have here is an appellant who claims he was persecuted and tortured in Guinea for his political beliefs, and that it would happen again if he's forced to go back. The immigration judge essentially said, I don't think I believe you, and he gave specific and cogent reasons for his conclusion. The only question then before this court is, are there specific detailed facts in the record that compel you to reverse the immigration judge's determination, not just facts that could possibly support a different outcome, but facts that compel it?
Yeah, but when we look at the findings, the immigration judge has to make express credibility findings. And the immigration judge basically said the testimony was meager and general, but did not explain why he thought the testimony lacked detail, what would have helped substantiate his statements, and then there were other things that he made reference to that he spoke in general terms but didn't specifically bring out the facts, and I think that's the problem. For example, his membership in the political party, when he had a copy of the card, and the whole issue of whether you have to corroborate each and everything in immigration cases, because that is different than the criminal setting.
I would concede, Your Honor, that the immigration judge in this case, despite a fairly detailed record of his ruling, did not actually use the magic words, "I find you to be incredible," but I do believe it is implied throughout the judge's ruling there on page 35 in the record. And while the judge found that the testimony was general and meager, he also determined then that it because of that, it required some corroboration that was within this applicant's ability and power to provide. And as such, there was no evidence in the record that this massive anti-government protest he's alleged to have fled police after his alleged 16-month incarceration ever even occurred. Mr. Diallo simply asked the judge to take it on faith. There was no evidence to corroborate any claims of injuries at the hands of his persecutors, or even of doctor visits that he claims to have gone to during his time in the States. He did not provide any record of having seen a doctor here or any medical records that might even possibly corroborate his claim of injury. All he did was
one of the problems we run into in these cases rather frequently is whether it is the immigration judge is being realistic about what he can expect a person coming to this country under fairly dire circumstances to bring with him. For instance, medical records after you've been tortured, or documentation about a political rally that happened. Very often these folks, it appears to us at least, are simply not in the position to produce this material, and that we're putting rocks in their sack they really can't carry. What's your reaction to that with respect to both this medical record and the information about the demonstration?
I would agree with that, Your Honor. But I do think that Congress has set up a scheme whereby the immigration judges, the people who hear the actual testimony, have to make these calls. And I would submit that if on this evidence Mr. Diallo would be granted asylum or have removal withheld, then virtually any applicant could come before any immigration judge and say, I was tortured, I was incarcerated for my political beliefs, please believe me, then anybody who would make that statement would be allowed into the nation, into our country.
With respect to the forms that emanated from the court, should we just accept the IJ's knowledge of French grammar he corrected the grammar of the forms, in effect, and said, I don't believe it. These forms are not as grammatically correct. It seems to me that given the state of affairs in that country, French grammar is probably not terribly high on the priority of those involved in law enforcement.
A fair point, Your Honor, and there is no expert testimony in the record of anybody testifying that these documents are forgeries or fakes. However, you do have a trained immigration judge who appears to be fluent in the French language, making a credibility determination that, in his judgment, these documents appeared to be forgeries. And they were, again, according to the immigration judge, the only corroborative evidence that this petitioner tendered to the court.
I also noticed that a claim of religious persecution seeps in to the appellate papers, the appellant's brief on page 13, for instance. But if you look at was religious persecution ever raised before the IJ?
I did notice it in counsel's brief. I did not see anything in the record, either in the transcript of the testimony or in the immigration judge's lengthy findings that made any reference to that issue.
Thank you.
I want to follow up on a question Judge Ruppel had with respect to French, because there's nothing in the record to show that the immigration judge had any real knowledge other than his comment. And so if he was wrong in terms of his interpretation, because there was no expert to comment, that's potentially a bad finding by the immigration judge. You would agree that he could be wrong. We have no way to verify that from an objective standpoint without an expert.
I would agree with that, Your Honor. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. You have 4 minutes, sir.
I'll be very brief. I just think that the immigration judge really should have made a finding either credible or not credible, and then elucidated the reasons for that finding, and I think that's lacking here. And what the judge did focus on, in his opinion, I don't think is helpful in terms of the French, and that seems to be a large part of his opinion. Mm-hmm. So I'll rest on that point if there are no further questions.
Could you clarify the situation with respect to religious persecution?
I don't think there's an issue at all, Your Honor. I think that's just, I don't know how it got in there.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Indeed, our thanks to both counsel for their submissions today. The case will be taken under advisement.